Okay, again, we're going to dedicate tonight's shir to the Refuah Shleima of Dr. Bitton, also who still needs the Refuah Shleima. Should happen to Karov. We started discussing the issue of Hotzal Malacha Grua last week. So again, let's just go through the Mishnah again quickly, and then we'll continue with our analysis of that. We already noted that just even before you start with the Mishnah, that the Malachas Hotzah seems to be treated in a very unique way in Masechet Shabbos, in that on the list of Lamed Tesavos Malachos, on Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph, it's the last of the Malachos, even after Makom B'Patish, which makes it stand out. It's as if the author of the Mishnah is telling us that basically we're separating Motzi Mershus L'Rshus from all the other Malachos, because otherwise it really is peculiar that it would come the last even after Makom B'Patish. And at the same time, just to further underscore its special status, it's the Malacha that opens the Masechta. And the question is why? And that's something that bothered Balei Tosis. It bothered the Rambam. We'll talk about the Rambam a little bit later on, but it bothered the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos. He asks this question, and Tosis on Beis Amin Aleph asks this question as well. Tosis on Beis Amin Aleph gives several answers to the question. Tosis says, Tosis starts off by saying, don't think that this is like a trivial matter. After all, in general, in other Masechtas too, we're always concerned why a Masechta begins where it does, especially if it begins in a place which is unanticipated. And this is unanticipated because, number one, it's the last of the Malachos on the list, and number two, sequentially, there are better or other places at least to begin. Erev Shabbos, preparations for Shabbos, and so on and so forth. So Tosis gives various answers. We read it last week, so I don't need to read it again, but Tosis mostly gives some technical answers. One of the most important one of the most ubiquitous malachos in terms of shailas is hotza'ah, or it's connected to layetze achayet b'machato. Various explanations. The last one that Tosis gives is connected already to the notion of malacha grua. The last one in Tosis Dirumasli Yitzios, the first Tosis says, one second. The Ode Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, this is the first of the middle wide lines, not the widest lines and not the narrowest lines, but the middle wide lines. The Ode Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, the Pasach B'Yitzios B'Shem D'Boi L'Memer L'Yetze Achayit B'Machato, that really the sequence of L'Yetze Achayit B'Machato, that the tailor shouldn't go out without with his needles, I guess. That's why we start with Hotzah. In other words, what's the problem? The problem is maybe he'll forget, he'll walk out on Shabbos already, he'll carry in this way. Afagav v'lo shana hamalabein mishum einosnim kelim lekobes, even though we don't find in parallel, because right after lo yoshe achayit b'machto is also the issue of einosnim kelim lekobes. You don't give laundry in to be laundered right before Shabbos, because maybe he'll start doing it, he'll do it on Shabbos. So in order to understand that better, maybe there should have been an introduction about the malacha of malabein, right? Why it is that there's a problem, just like you're trying to explain, like it's a chayit b'makato in terms of hotza'a, right? V'lo hamavir mishum b'metomnim. Again, when it comes to the question of hatmana, so that, that again is in this section in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. No one ever said, you can't speak about the Isra of Hatmana without first establishing the Malacha of Mavir. So what we're saying is, this seems to be a problematic answer in that it's inconsistent with the way that we treat the, pairings of Le'etzah Chai B'machado. So that's what Tosis explains. That hotza hutzuch l'shanos today mishum de malacha gruahi kemo shafarish. That the difference is that hotza is a challenging, we'll call it that for the moment, a challenging malacha. I mean, literally, the words malacha grua means an inferior malacha. The question is it really inferior, or is it just that we might have thought it would not qualify as a malacha, but in fact, you know, it's like any other malacha, or maybe it's not inferior because in light of it, we just reassess all the malachos. Right. So basically, there are three options. The idea of, or four options. Malacha grua is not a factor at all. There are some Rishonim who don't believe in malacha grua. It's a phrase of the Balei Tosis, and the Rambam has his own way of saying it, and the Ramban his, etc. But it's not mukhrach that there is such an idea. Even if there's a notion of malacha grua, so one way to look at it, as we'll see, is that it's a havamina, right? It's not for being told about hotzah right away, right? We would have thought that hotzah wouldn't qualify as a malacha, but kamash malan it does. Now the kamash malan can also go in two ways. Kamash malan, it's not as garua as you think. What you think is a deficiency in this malacha that, you know, may make it inadequate as a malacha. At further glance, it really has the components that justify its status. So that would be, you know, we need to preclude a misconception. The misconception is really just that. It's a misconception. It's an, even internally, it's a misconception, meaning Hotsa is much more formidable than you think it is. Or Hotsa is a, you know, challenging malacha, and however, since it's equal to all other malachos, and we still consider it to be, you know, challenging, you know, in other words, not as compelling seemingly as the other malachos, it establishes that the threshold for malachos is less than we thought. You don't have to be, take your zarua for a moment, you don't have to be something that's transformative in order to be a malacha. Right? There can be other constructive actions that aren't transformative, and we see from Hotzah that they too, maybe we should reassess some of the other things on the list in light of all this, as we'll explain. And then the third option within this, or altogether four, is that Hotzah is a malacha grua. The result of Hotzah being a malacha grua is that there are consequences. Meaning we treat Hotzah differently than we treat other malachos. And then it's not just, oh, it happens to be first in the Pesachta, it happens to be last in the Mishnah, meaning these stylistic expressions, but there will actually be nafkamina. There'll be concrete, substantive differences between Hotza'ah and other malachos. And that's one of the things that we're going to keep our eye open today. So this is what we're facing. We're trying to understand better, and that's our topic for the day, probably for a couple of weeks, is to understand Hotza'ah malacha grua better. Now, it's interesting, Tosis already highlights some of the important features of this Mishnah and the Hotzah. In the earlier part of the same Tosis, we read it last week, the first answer of Tosis, the tirets to Hotzah chavivale lagdume, right, Tosis says, it's good to start with Hotzah, because Hotzah is a very endearing halacha, right? Bishul du Mishnah zu shaminan kama dvarim, because this is an action-packed Mishnah. This is an interesting idea also. I mean, you start a besechta with a Mishnah because this Mishnah happens to be action-packed. It has so much interesting information. It's like, you know, catches the eye of the lomed. So, what are these things? Right? Hotzah, v'achnasa, da'ani, v'ashir. I mean, all the interesting features in the Mishnah, which we're going to just go back over in a minute, like there are a lot of things in this Mishnah that are very intriguing. Right, that there's not only Hotzah, but Hachnasah, and that it's in the Mishnah. Right, Hotzah is the classic. That's, you know, you have an object on the inside, you pick it up, you take it outside, Rosh Hashanah, and you put it down. But the Mishnah seems to include Hachnasah as well as Hotzah. And we'll discuss that. The Ani Uda Ashir, that's even more peculiar, more of a Chiddush, meaning the, as we'll explain again inside in a minute, but the, you know, the Shnayim Shein Arba, in the Mishnah, is, you know, from two perspectives. The perspective of somebody on the outside, the perspective of somebody in the inside. So basically, we have Hotzah, Da'ani, Hotzah, Da'ashir, Hachnasa, Da'ani, Hachnasa, Da'ashir. And the question basically is, like, who cares? I mean, it isn't class related. We don't care if it's an Ani or an Ashir, or a Balabayas. It's where the person is standing. Is he standing on the inside or the outside? But why do we care about that either? What's the significance, let's say, of an act of Hotza'ah of the Balabayas as opposed to one of the Ani? So we'll talk more about this, but it comes up again in a minute. Meaning, the person on the inside, let's say, we call him the Balabayas, right? So how does he do Hotza'ah? The object is on the inside, next to him. He picks it up, and he stretches his hand out, and he puts it outside. Right? So he expels, you could say, he eradicates, you know, the object, you know, from him. How does an ani from the outside do hotza? He's standing on the outside. Let's say this is now the outside, right? He stretches his hands on the inside, picks up the object on the outside, and brings it toward him. That's a meshicha, not a siluk. He's not eradicating the object from where he is. On the contrary, he's pulling it towards him. These are two different forms, or to, you know, in a way, of hotza. In both cases, the akira was in reshus hayachid, and the hanacha was in reshus harabit. So what Tosis is telling us is, that's intriguing, right, that we underscore the difference between hotzos ani hotzos balabais, achnosos ani achnosos balabais. Why would you think that we would care, right? But maybe we do, and we'll have to understand better why we do. And then there's another one, udebe'inan akira v'hanacha, right? The Tosis is kind of highlighting the challenges of hotza for us, you know. This is also rare. In what sense? Most malachos have a certain definition, but rarely do you find a malacha, if ever, right, where you have two separate components, or two different phases, or two different actions, whatever you want to call it. Usually, it's tochein, it's kotzer, it's a single moment, it's a single action, an elongated action, an immediate action, right? Zoreya and bishul are elongated actions. Kotzer and tochein and gozes and bonen and soser and kosev are immediate actions, but basically there's a single integrated definition. Right? Where do you find a malacha which has two completely separate components, like akira and hanacha, and how do you understand the relationship between those two things? So again, Tosus is being very innocent here. Tosus is just saying, why do we start from the sechta? Right, because it's an endearing Mishnah. It tells us it's action-packed. Here's where the action is. I just think that it provides an opportunity, right, to highlight, you know, in a substantive way as well, the things we need to understand about hotza. Okay, and then of course he has ushnaim shasu p'turim. Another feature is, you see from this Mishnah, as we'll read it again in a minute, that when there's a combined akira v'hanacha across two people, right, that is not the malacha d'oraisa. That's the rule of shnayim she'asu peturim. Okay? And there's another rule, and that is that yado shel adam chashuva lo kedalid al dalid, v'yado shel adam lo kershus hayachid v'lo kershus harab. The cases, as well, again, we'll read in the Mishnah in a second, are cases where people are transferring objects from hand to hand. And what that apparently means is two things. Number one, picking up from somebody's hands or putting into somebody's hand is considered an akira and a hanacha, even though it's not actually what they normally require an akira of a hanacha, which is dalet al dalet, 4x4 tzvachim. Nobody's hand is 4x4 tzvachim. And therefore, the idea that yado shel adam chashuva lo kedalet al dalet, that a person's hand has the chashivos of dalet al dalet, which says something not so much about your hand, but about the what Dalet al Dalet is really all about. That's an intriguing thing. Moreover, Yado Shaladam, this is a Gemara later on, and Gimel Amidais, Lo Kirshus Hayachid Velo Kirshus Harab. Meaning, well, there's a machlokus what that means, but according to most people what it means is, when your hand, like, is in a Rishus, that is different than your body, so the question is it like, does it Shadi Achar Gufo? Is it, you know, just Makomo, when you put your hand in a different rishus, is what's in your hand considered legally to be in the physical rishus where it's now, or is it basar gufo? Since you're in the other rishus, does it go by where you are, or neither? Right. That's also an important. So these are many chidushim that the Mishnah provides. Okay. So now let's look at the Mishnah very quickly, and then we'll look at how Rishonim explain Malacha Grua and some of the other issues.
Yeah, could I just share a short story with you?
A short?
Yeah, I once visited Rabbi Yoshe Ber Shir when I was in Chicago.
Okay.
And I happened to be there. A friend of mine took me into the Shir. Yeah, there are two guys fumbling with the tape recorder.
Okay.
So Rabbi Yoshua Berger says, now you understand why Shneur Shesul Petrurim.
There you go.
They got nowhere.
Okay. I thought he didn't allow taping at all. But, okay. The Yitzias HaShabbos, so again, let's just go through the Mishnah again very quickly, and then we'll see what bothered Tosis as well, about the Ani and the Usher and so on. Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shen Arba Bifnim, Ushtayim Shen Arba Bachutz. So, I think I mentioned last week also that another factor, another, you know, facet, let's say, regarding this beginning and this Mishnah, is that there are at least four, if not more, interpretations of what this Mishnah means. And that is, I don't know if it's, it's for sure rare. I'm trying to think whether it's unprecedented, whether there's anything like it anywhere. Normally, you know, there'll be a machlokas in the Gemara how to read a Mishnah, right? But once you've read Gemaras, you know, on the Mishnah, you know, it's rare to be able to find four different explanations of the Mishnah in the Rishonim. But we have at least four. I mean, there are variations even within the four. Now, the reason that we have these four is because it's a very challenging, we were talking about this, right? It's a very challenging Mishnah, just to read the words and to understand it. So the Mishnah starts off and says, Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Rishtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. And then it starts to explain Ketzad, we'll get to that in a minute. But even with the Ketzad, there's some confusion. What does it mean? Two which are four Bifnim, two which are four bachutz. So Rashi, which is the most dominant view, I said there are at least four interpretations, but you know, they're not four equal interpretations. Rashi's interpretation is the one that is by far the most accepted. So we'll start with that, and I'll just mention a couple of the others quickly. Rashi says, "You see us a Shabbos, hotzo shem rishus l'shus amuris l'shabbos." Right, to here we're talking about transferring from one to another. We'll get to that. Since you're going from one rishus to the other, so it doesn't really matter which direction. The word yitzios here can refer to hotzaos, which means hotzaos and achnasos. That's how Rashi is already trying to explain one problem. How could the Mishnah speak about yitzios when, as you'll see, the cases are explicit, but some of the cases, half the cases, are achnasa, meaning going from rishus harabim into rishus hayachid rather than rishus hayachid out to Rishus HaRab. So Rashi says, Yitzios, Hotzaos, here isn't specifically exiting, it's basically passing from one Rishus to the other. What's the pshat? Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim. So here's where Rashi gives the dominant view. La'osan Ha'omdim Bifnim. Right? Shtayim Min HaTorah, Hotzav HaKnosa DeBalabayis. The word Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim means the bifnim here means the person who is standing on the inside. And shtayim shem arba bechutz is the person who is standing on the outside. In other words, there are four cases, two of which are d'oraisa, two of which are drabanan, as seen from the perspective of the person who is on the inside, right? And the other one is seen from the perspective of the person who is on the outside. So for example, we're talking about the person on the inside, the balabayis, the homeowner, right, he can do two doraisas, in theory, if he does both akira and hanacha of the person on the inside, in other words, of hotza'ah. He takes the object that's right here, and he puts it out. Or, he can, that's one. The other doraisas, he does the other opposite. He picks up the object on the outside, right, he brings it in. That's called hachnasa. And Shehin Arba is a debate, which Arba we are, but two Drabanans, where he does, according to Rashi it means, where he does an Akira without a Hanacha. That's how Rashi interprets. It's also Machlokas Rishonim. In other words, he does an Akira without a Hanacha, but he does that from the inside, or by stretching, you know, yeah. I mean, he could do it in one direction or in the other direction, basically. Okay. So that's Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim. The other interpretation, just to mention them very quickly, and we'll get back to it, is the Rashi in Masachat Shavuos. This Mishnah appears in a much shorter version, not Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz, but simply Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, as we'll see in a moment, together with Shavua Shtaim Shein Arba Mars Negayim Shtaim Shein Arba, right, and so on. So it appears in Masachet Shavuos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and there Rashi suggests that the Shtaim Shein Arba Bifnim refers to Bifnim and Bachutz, refers to Hachnasa and Hotzah, meaning the Bifnim is Hachnasa, says Rashi. There are four cases of Hachnasa, two of which are Daraisa, two of which are Drabanan. There are four cases of Hotzah, two of which are Daraisa, two of which are Drabanan. That's totally different than what Rashi says here, right? Here Rashi is saying it's the reference point of Bifnim and Bachutz is the person on the inside, the person on the outside. There he's saying it's Hachnasos versus Hotzos. I think that's basically what we're talking about. If you look here, Shtaim Shen Arba Bifnim and Tosas says, Kein Nira Kemoshu Vifarish Rashi Kan, the Bifnim Hainu the Balabais Omeid Bifnim, but Bachutz Hainu the Oni Haomeid Bachutz. Shtaim Hotzos Hachnasos, the Chiyuv, Shein Dalit Hotzos Hachnasos, the Ptur. Ube Shavuos Pirish Rashi, Bifnim Hainu Hachnasos, Pnim, Shnaim the Chiyuv, the Oni the Asher, Shnaim the Ptur, Ube Chutz Hainu Hotzos Chutz. They Nira, he says, I don't think it's correct, and so on. That's the Rashi in Shavuos. The Balamor, here on the spot, has a third interpretation. If you look at it just for a second, we'll talk about it later, but just get it in on the record. Look in the back of the Gemara, and on Aleph Amud Aleph, in the Rif, in the very, very, very beginning, of course, is where it should be. So the Balamor says exactly the opposite of Rashi and Shavuos. I think it's very significant. Rav Amar Rishuyos Ketani. Everybody have that? Aleph Amud Aleph. The very first Balamor in the Masechta. Rav Amar Rishuyos Ketani. Based on the Gemara. Based on days. Rishuyos Shabbos. Shtaim Shar Bifnim. Based. Afal Bi Dedeka. But this is a parashah of Rashi. Those Chazilei LeRava Hachi. Mirtani Yitzias Oyfani Hotzos. Shem Hachi Chazilei LeRava. Command on Rishuyos, and so on. We can skip a little bit. Just one second. Oh. So he says, "V'hachin hu sidura dimasnisan." Everybody have that? It's like I'm skipping like 10 lines down. Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim. Kivin Shetchilas Hamalacha Hu Ha'akira. V'ikar Chiyuva. The Akira Sahotza Mershus Hayachid Lefika Hiktim Arba Bifnim the Achakachamar Arba Bachutz Shehi Mershus Harabim. So basically what happens according to the Balamor is exactly the opposite of Rashi in Shavuos, meaning like Rashi and Shavuos, the words Bifnim and Bachutz refer to Hotzah and Achnasa. But for the Balamor, Bifnim refers to Hotzah and Bachutz refers to Achnasa. Now that's counterintuitive because normally you'd think Bifnim would be Achnasa because that's where it's going, right? And Bachutz would be Hotzah. So that's what the Balamor tries to explain, and this becomes very important, that instead of looking at where it ends up, right, where its destination is, you should look at its point of origin. And the reason you should do that is because we want to accentuate the Akira, not the Hanukkah. See, this is a very big debate back and forth, like what Tosas pointed out. What's the relationship between Akira and Hanukkah? So you already have three interesting interpretations, right? One is about the balabayas and the ani. That's Rashi. That's the predominant view. The other is hachnasa and hotza, where the emphasis is on where the object ends up, right? And then you have the balamor. Of course, the advantage of the balamor is saying exactly the opposite. It's also hotza and hachnasa, but bifnim is hotza, bachutz is hachnasa. The advantage also for the balamor, I might add, is that according to the balamor, the first case of the Mishnah is hotza. The reason that's an advantage is because there's a big debate about the status of hachnasa. Either way, the classical instance of most of Mishus Lashus is certainly Hotza. So for the Mishnah to begin with Hachnasa is strange. That's why according to the Balamor, it really begins with Hotza. Okay. Anyway, there's another interpretation, that's the Riva in Tosas in Shavuos, the Heyom and Aleph. There Tosas says that Bifnim and Bachutz is a reference to Chiyuvei Doraisa versus Chiyuvei Drabana. That Bifnim means Chiyuv Doraisa. There are four cases of Chiyuv Doraisa. There's the Hotza'a of the Ani and the Balabayas. There's the Hachnasa of the Ani and the Balabayas. Those are four cases. And Shein, so Bifnim, why does Bifnim mean the ones that are Doraisa and Bachutz doesn't? It refers to the bringing of the Korban. Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim, meaning there are four cases which lead you to bring a korban into the Beis HaMikdash. Right? And it's not considered to be Chulin Lazara, a deserved korban. And those four cases are, again, Hotzah da'ani u da'balabayis, Hachnasah da'ani u da'balabayis, where each one does all the both the Akira and the Hanacha. The Bachutz is where you're not obligated to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the Drabanan ones. Okay. There are more interpretations. But I think it's just an extraordinary thing to have a Mishnah like this, which is confusing enough that you could have four different interpretations. It's also important because, again, if I'm writing a Mishnah on that basis, but not any Mishnah I'm writing, but if I'm setting a tone to a Masechta, I want to make sure that I emphasize, something, worth starting. So it's just interesting, the different perspectives. Again, for Rashi, it's about the tsura, the different tsura of the ani and the balabais, right? Is it what I call siluk? Is it the shicha? That's the emphasis according to Rashi, right? The emphasis according to Rashi in Shavuos is the question of hachnasas and hotzalas, or really the hanaka in the end, the destination, right? The emphasis according to the balamor is not the destination, but the beginning of the malacha, the akira, where it's leaving from, not where it's going to. And there are other issues as well. Either way, the Mishnah says,
how is he so different from Rashi here?
It's totally different.
Totally different?
Totally, totally. Meaning, the Ashtayim Shein Arba Bifnim for the Balamor means the four cases of Hotza.
And the perspective of the Balabayas.
No. Nothing to do with the Balabai. There's Balabais and Ani mixed in, but it's Hotza'ah. In other words, it's the Hotza'ah. The two Daraisa are Hotza'ah the Balabais and Hotza'ah the Ani, and the two Drabanans are Drabanan Hotza'os. Okay. Right, so the emphasis is not on the Balabais and the Ani, the emphasis is on the Hotza'ah, but the Akira side of the Hotza, whereas for Rashi and Shavuos it's the Hanukkah part of the Malacha, and for Rashi here it's the Ani and the Balabais and the different Suros of what I call Siluk or Meshicha. So very different.
This ambiguity, isn't that a function of the Sikha, that the Gemara not doing its job, so to speak, in the Gemara, or what the Mishnah means? I mean, Dhamma Rav didn't get into the teeth of what the Mishnah means.
Well, the Gemara, spend some time on it, and the part of the question obviously is to understand what the Gemara means too. But I wouldn't say it's a failure. I would just say it's there remains an ambiguity. And that's really what I would prefer to say. The Gemara does discuss it. We'll see in a minute. The Gemara even says as we'll soon see, you know, maybe there are, you know, 16 cases, there should be 12 cases, there should be, but the Gemara maybe doesn't feel that they have to. I would say, instead of, you know, they didn't do their job, I would say maybe the Gemara itself understood that the ambiguity, you know, is not, doesn't need to be addressed necessarily. I mean, you could read the Gemara, you could read the Mishnah this way, that way, and the other way, and still address all the questions. So maybe, since they didn't need to address it, you know, they didn't feel that you needed a definitive resolution. There's not enough Gemara halacha, you know, which of these interpretations you pick. I just think it's a fascinating phenomenon they almost never see, you know, that once you're done with the Gemara, I mean, you know, people learn Mishnayos these days. You know, in the old days they used to learn Mishnayos, you know, with the Bar Tanura and, you know, the Tosfos Yontif or Tiferes Yisrael. But, you know, since Kahati came along and did such a magnificent job, so they learn with Kahati, or maybe today they learn with Art Scroll. I don't know what they do now. But so Kahati does a magnificent job, but and he'll tell you there are different Mefarshim sometimes, but rarely will, you know, he'll say, oh, but the Gemara says it's this one. And it's a peculiar thing that, you know, some of the Mefarshim are like ignoring the Gemara's interpretation. It's not the only case of its kind where you have some achlokas who show them how to read a Mishnah, especially some of the, obviously we're talking about Mishnahs, Mishnayos and Taharos or in Zeroyim, you know, it becomes much more, you know, palatable because you don't have Gemaras that are explicit. But to have so many different Perushim on such a, like, you know, the beginning of Masachat Shabbos, and that still all fit in with the Gemara, perhaps, is remarkable. Okay. Anyway, I think it's important because I think it's about tone setting, but there's no nafka mina lahalacha. There's also debate in the Rishonim how to read the Mishnah in terms of the Shehin Arbas, the Drabban. That's a machlokas Rishonim. But, okay, anyways. Yeah.
Why isn't there nafka mina?
What isn't there?
Is there an ambiguity as to what the Doraisa?
No. There's no ambiguity what the Doraisa is and what the Doraisas are. It's only ambiguity whether or not they're being referred to. At what point in the Mishnah they're being referred to? For example, the Riva in Tosas and Shavuos is going to tell you that the Shteimshen Arba Bifnim is all the Doraisas, and the Shteimshen Arba Bechutz is all the Drabanans. There's no argument what the Doraisas are and what the Drabanans are, but he's saying the first section is all Doraisas, the other section is all Drabanans. Where all the other Rishonim are saying, for example, that the Doraisas and the Drabanans are mixed. The Shtayims are all Doraisas and the Shehin Arbas are all Drabanans. Okay, but no one's arguing about the details. Similarly, right, so Tosis here is saying that Bifnim is, you know, it's from the perspective of the Bala. The first group is all from the perspective of the Balabais. Right, his Doraisas and his Drabanans. The second group is the Anis. Right, and as opposed to Balamor and Rashi in Shavuos, which are saying, no, it's Hachnosos and Hotzos. But they all agree which cases are Doraisa, which cases are Drabanan. Just that, is it the Balabais and the Ani that are being mixed up within each group? Or is it Hotzo and Hachnosa that are being mixed? Which is the dominant group? And which are the details? Right? But there's not a single case, because of this issue, that is being debated. But impressions are important, in my opinion. Impressions are very important. Right, what you emphasize important. Especially something like the Balamor, which is against the grain in a way. In other words, at least Rashi and Shavuos is saying, oh, Bifnim Bachutz. So if you ask me, you know, Bifnim Bachutz, what would you say? I might have come up with Hachnosos and Hotzos. Right? But to come up with Hachnosos and Hotzos in the other direction, to say Bifnim means Hotzah and that, you know, Bachutz, you know, means, you know, Hachnosa, that takes a little more ingenuity. You have to have like a stronger conviction to say something like that. So I think it's interesting. Okay. Anyway, you see, it's a Shabbos Shteim Shen Arba Bifnim, Shteim Shen Arba Bechutz. Now we know it's not so simple to read those things, but either way, the Mishnah gets explained. Ketzan Ha'ani Ha'omed Bechutz Balabayis Bifnim. Right. Pasha Ta'ani Yisyado Lifnim. Right. The Ani stretches his hand inside. The Nasa L'Toch. That he has the object and he picks it up on the and he puts his hand inside. But also the tochiado shemalabayis. So he does the akira on the outside, the hachnasa on hanacha rather on the inside. He does the whole malacha, right? He's kayin. Osho not on the tocha, or he picks it up from, you know, the inside, and hotzi, and he takes it outside. So So ani chayv balabayis potter. Pashat balabayis is yada lachadz. If the balabayis stretches his hand outside, he's on the inside. Venas on the toch yado shel ani and puts it in the hand of the ani. So he did a kira nanacha. Osho natal mitocha behichnis balabayis chayv paani potter. Again, the mission is already explaining a lot of the cases. We just don't know. Are these the cases of, you know, of the shtayim, of the arba, of the shtayim shen arba? Which ones? That's part of the debate. Okay. Anyways, pashad ani yisedol l'tnim v'natol balabayis mitocha, o shenosol l'tocha v'hotzi shneim peturim. Right, if the ani does the akira and the balabayis does the hanacha, or vice versa, those are peturim. Pashad balabayis yisedol l'chutz v'natol ani mitocha, o shenosol l'tocha v'hichnis shneim peturim. Okay. That's the Mishnah. So I wanted to now get to the you know what? Let me just read the Gemara for another minute and then we'll get back to Halacha Gruah just to make a little headway. So the Gemara says as follows. Tanhasam, since we spoke about the Mishnah and Shavuos, you should see a little more what it is. Tanhasam, we learned a Mishnah in Shavuos as well. Shavuos, Shtayim, Shehein, Arba. Right? There's a case of Shavuos, which is Shtayim, Shehein, Arba, two of four. Ah, what's that? Rashi explains here. Tzanhasa Masechet Shavuos, Shavuos Shtayim, Shavuos Shel Bitui. We're talking about Shavuos Bitui, meaning a person makes a voluntary Shavuah, and the question is about the accuracy of his Shavuah, right? Lahara Olehetiv, either a positively formed Shavuah or a negatively formed Shavuah. Shtayim Hein, right? Liskai Valeim Korban Olaviyah, right? Ha'omer b'parsha, it's shtayim shein arba. Two of them are mechayiv yo korban olav yorei doraisa. The nafkin mil hara olahetiv, the mashma l'haba. That's if you set up your shavuos bitui right in advance. I will do X. I won't do X. And then you either do or don't do it. Mean opposite of what you pledged. Right. That's l'hara olahetiv. Positive and negative future. That's a shavuos bitui. Which, if you violate, you bring a korban olaviyot, right? Ocha v'locha, shehein arba. What's the shehein arba? Yesh l'rabos od shtayim mi ribu yakosav. There are two more, and they are l'chol asher yavo, asher rather yivatei ha'adam is l'rabes l'sha'avar the past. Achalti v'lo achal, lo achalti v'achal. In other words, he takes a shvua and says, I ate this, I did that, or I didn't eat this, or I didn't do that. So it's a positive and a negative, but instead of future, it's past. So that's machlokas, whether or not that brings a korban olav yored or not. Okay, so that's one example. Then the Mishnah there continues. Yedios hatuma shtayim shein arba. There's also, when it comes to yedios hatuma, there's also a configuration of two of four. What is that? Rashi explains. Yedias hatoma ha'amuras b'korban olaviyah. Right. Also the same parshan by Yikra. O nefesh kisi ga, etc. V'amirim v'sechah shvuah she'en akasam medaber ela b'tumas mikdash v'kadashah shel achar shenikma achal kodesh o nichnas l'mikdash. Delfin hasam she'en amizchayev ela b'yidia tchila v'yidia basal v'helen b'natayim kagon shiyoda shenitma. Right, the nela mimenu tuma the achal kodesh. Right, umisha achal yada shachlo betuma. Shtayim hein mimashnos hakasu the nela mimenu v'hutame mashma shenela mimenu tuma. Aval zakhoru shachal kodesh v'shezem mikdash are shtayim helam tuma legabe kodesh v'helam tuma legabe mikdash. So again, the two of tuma are. In both cases, he forgot he was Tame. He forgot he was Tame, and as a result, either ate Kadshim or entered into the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the two things that you're not allowed to do when you're Tame. Right? You're allowed to do many other things, but you're not allowed to be Nichas L'Mikdash, you're not allowed to eat Basar Kadshim. So if he was Nela, if he was a Shogeg about being Tame, and he did one of these two things, that's the Shtayim. What's the Shehim Arba? Yesh Chalabah Sod Shtayim Iribui. Vanellum vanellum base palim. Lerabos es hazochor tuma. He remembers that he's tame. Avonellum imenu kodesh kasavar shachulinein onellum imenu mikdash. let's say he doesn't remember that this meat here is kachim meat. He knows he's tamei. He doesn't remember that this meat is kachim. Or he knows he's tamei, but he makes a mistake about the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and he enters accidentally. That's the Shehin Arba, about which there happens to be a debate. But we're accepting in this Mishnah that it is kachim. Okay. Then there's a third case, and that's Maris Negaim. Right, he has a nega. Litame Shein Shtayin Hein Seis Ubaheres. They're the Av Ovos of Nega, basically Seis Ubaheres. Shein Arba Miribui Sapakas. Pasuk says Sapakasi Shehu Mashma Tfela. Something that is like Tafel, right? It's like a lighter form of the others. So you have two lighter forms of the two others. Kamo Sapcheni Na Alachas, etc. Marba tfela lazu ulazu. Tolda lases, vitolda libaheres. Vishanukhamin, baheres is azaka sheleg. These are different shades of white. Right? Baheres is fierce white. Shniela, its tolda, if you will, is kasida hechal. Seis is katsemer lava, like white wool. Right? Shniela, kikrum beitza, like the membrane of an egg. These are all different. Okay. Anyways, basically the idea is as follows. This Mishnah says that, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, it starts with Shavuos because it's Masechet Shavuos. Then it has Yediyas Atumah Shtayim Shein Arba, Maris Negayim Shtayim Shein Arba, and then of course the fourth one is Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Oh, so the Gemara says, Maishna Hachid Etani Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. Maishna Hasa Etani Shtayim Shein Arba Besulo. How come there we only have one category of Shabbos, and here we have two, right, a Bifnim and a Bechutz? So the Gemara says, Hachad Iker Shabbosu Tani Avas Etani Toldos. Hasa Delav Iker Shabbosu Avas Tani Toldos Lo Tani. The Gemara says, what do you want? I mean, this is Masachet Shabbos. If you can't elaborate here, where can you elaborate, right? But in Masachet Shavuos, they were just interested in throwing together these four cases because there's a parallel. In both cases, there's a configuration, all four cases of Shayim, Shehein, Arba. But Masachet Shavuos is about Shavuos, right? It mentions Marsh Negoim and Yediyas HaTumah and Yetzias HaShabbos only incidentally because of the parallel form. So it's enough to mention one reference. It doesn't have to mention both. Okay. What that one is, right, probably the Doraisa. So the Gemara says, my nihu. What do you mean, avos tani told us lo tani? Avos my nihu. What are avos? Yitzios. Right? The Gemara thought yitzios means hotza, meaning from the inside out. So the Gemara says, v'yitzios trei habyan. Right? The chitem, there are only two, there aren't four. If we're only counting avos, and avos are hotzaos, so how can there be four? It says two of four. There are only two. So the Gemara says, v'chitem amehen l'chiv amehen l'ptur. If you think that the Mishnah, even in Shavuos, is not only dealing with the chiyu bechatos, but it's dealing with some that are chayiv d'orais and chamuchar only drabanan, v'adumya d'maris negayim k'tani. It should be parallel with the other cases of the Mishnah, and the other cases of the Mishnah are all Doraisas, right? Whether it's Yediyas HaTumah or Maris Negayim or Shavuos Shtayim, they're all according to the Man D'Amar that all these cases are Doraisa. So we have a problem. So the Gemara says, "Kula l'chiyuva apaka nami kula l'chiyuva." Elamar Papa Hocha the Ikar Shabbos Utani Chiyuve Upeturi. Hasam Galav Ikar Shabbos Uchiyuve Tani Peture Lo Tani. So the Gemara says, "No." The two of four in Masechet Shavuos, that Mishnah, are all Doraisas. Right? And the two of four here, Bifnim and Bachutz, is because here we're counting not only Doraisas, but Drabanans as well. So the Gemara says, Chiyuvim Maininu Yitzios. But what are the Chiyuvim, the Doraisa ones? Right? Yitzios, Hotzah. Yitzios parti havyan shtayim dehotza. No, that's the question. right? Question mark. Meaning there's only two. You need four because you have two and four, which is, means four of eight. So you need four daraisas, but there are only two daraisas. Hotzah the ani, and hotzah the balabayas. The Gemara thought at this point that the Mishnah is reflecting only, you know, the daraisa malacha or the av malacha, not any toldos, etc. So the Gemara says shtayim the hotzah, ushtayim the haknasa. No, the four of eight, the two of four are right. Hotzah of ani and balabayas and haknasa of ani and balabayas. That's four. Yeah, so we're counting haknasa in addition to hotzah.
Referring to haknasa as a toldo.
Oh, the Gemara right here is yes. So the Gemara says vayitzios ktani, but doesn't the Mishnah use the phrase yitzios, which has a connotation of hotzah? Huh? So the Gemara says Ravashi tana haknasa nami hotzah karile. That actually the phrase yitzios or hotzah can include hachnasa as well. Now here there's a big debate among the Rishonim, which we're not going to speak about yet, because we have to do some halacha gruah work for a couple weeks first. But the question that you asked is very relevant. Tosis is of the opinion all over Shabbat and elsewhere, also in Shavuos, wherever it comes up, that hachnasa is a tolda of hotzah. And that seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara's question here on Beis and Beis, and it's even more explicit, as we'll get to it, on Tzadi Vav on Beis, in the beginning of Perek HaZorek. The Gemara seems to say clearly that Hachnasa is a tolda, Hotza'a is an av. The Rambam, I'll just tell you now, and we'll discuss it more when we get to it. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, it's very clear that he doesn't think that Hachnasa is a tolda. Of course, it's what to do with the Gemara. The Ramban was of the opinion, we'll discuss that also more fully, that that's a machlokas amoraim, and this is the transition of the Gemara right here. When the Gemara asked the question, when the Gemara said the words, yitzios tarti avyon, shtayim dotza, right? Ushtayim daknasa. That's the Gemara's answer. Then the Gemara says, yitzios ktani. Right? So the Ramban says, all that part of the Shakla Vitaria is where the Gemara thinks that haknasa is a tolda of otza. And if you look at the Gemara in Bava Kama, I'm sorry, the Gemara later on in Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, right in Azorek, also that Gemara is going Aliba the Mandamar, that Achnasa is a Tolda. However, says the Ramban, it's at this point in the Gemara where you have the transition, the other view. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Tana Achnasa Nami Hotza Karila. The phrase Hotza includes Achnasa as well. So you could say, and Bali Tosis obviously understand it this way, that what we mean by that is, linguistically, it's misleading, it's a tolda, but nonetheless, linguistically, right, the hotza has two meanings. It has a broader meaning and a more specific meaning. And the Mishnah is using it in a broader way, even though it includes a tolda. The Ramban thought that that was incorrect. Now, when the Gemara here says, according to Ravashi, Tana Achnasa Nami Hotzah Karile, that's because Ravashi was of the opinion that Achnasa is an Av Malacha, just like Hotzah is. And then we'll discuss it more later. Anyway, the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that Achnasa is included under the rubric of Hotzah? Because, Minitanan, Hamotzi Mershus, Lershus, Chayiv, the Mishnah says, on Ein Gimel Amin Aleph, when it counts the Malachos, the last of the Malachos, as we discussed, is Motzi Mershus, Lershus. Now the words motzim rishus means what? Passing from one rishus into another. That doesn't imply anything about direction, right? Are you passing from one rishus to the other when you're doing hotzah? Sure. How about when you're doing achnasa? Sure. Any less? Any more? In both cases, you're going from one rishus to the other. So the phrase motzim rishus rishus is a neutral phrase vis-a-vis the problem of hotzah and achnasa. So if we call it Melechas Hotzah and we describe it as Motzim Rishus Lershus, it sounds like all of it is under one rubric. Milo Askinen, aren't we also dealing there to come by Ayel Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYachid, that you go from, even if you do the Akir Rishus HaRabim and the Anachim Rishus HaYachid, the Kakari Le Hotzah. The Tamamai, what's the reason for this? Kol Akira Shevetz Mimakomo Tana Hotzah Karila. whenever there's an uprooting of an object from its place, that's called Hotzah. Now the question again is this line in the Gemara here, it seems like it could be a very important line, right? When the Gemara says, Tama mai, kol akiras chefetz mekomo, tana hotzah kari. So you can understand, if you want to negate this line, or the significance of it, neutralize it, and downplay it, what you might say is, this whole Gemara is a linguistic discussion. And for Bali Tosis, mostly it is. Meaning, Hachnas is a tolda. Hi, how could it be in the Mishnah, right, in Kol Gadol, and how could it be in the Mishnah here? The answer is, because linguistically, you know, it has a broader meaning. And in what sense? Kol akiras chefetz mekomo, tana, Hotzah, I would here emphasize or underline the word karila. Linguistically, whenever you're oker something, that's called Hotzah. But the Ramban did not understand it that way, as I mentioned. The Ramban understood that this line in the Gemara is telling us that that Hachnasa is not a tolda, it's an av. And therefore, I think the Ramban also understood this line to be more significant. So again, impression-wise, right, again, Tosus already sensitized us on first Tosus on Beis Haman Aleph that one of the chavivim, one of the endearing qualities of the Mishnah, one of the chidushim of the Mishnah is that there's an akira and anacha in Shabbos. Right, it's a very interesting question. So what? As I said already, you know, we don't have anything like this. So they're equal. They're one. It's the beginning is the akira, the end is the anacha. They're two halves. Or one is Ikar and the other is Tafel? How does it work exactly? Which one is Ikar, which one's Tafel? We already have little hints of the Balamor and the, like if we're sensitive to it, there's stuff going on here behind the surface. You know. Not things that are definitive, but things that are already struggling, you know, to give us little impressions, right? There's like a little undetected, you know, battle for our minds and hearts going on here. So this line in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Akira's davar mimakomo hotza karile, right? If it's just a linguistic comment to explain the Mishnah, you know, uses a phrase which seems inaccurate, but, you know, if you give a little leeway, a little more linguistic flexibility, it's fine and good. Fine. But if it means more than that, so it's a way of emphasizing maybe a more primary role for the Akira. Something which will work nicely for the Balamor that we read, maybe not so nicely for some other Rishonim who really think Anacha is more important. Yeah?
Is it possible that the difference between Tosis and the Rambam actually hinges on how to define Av and Tolda?
Very possible. Either the difference is between, more likely, in the case of you know, Hotzah specifically, meaning whether direction is important in this malacha, right? Or what you're suggesting, which is that it has to do with a larger question about how different do an av and a tolda need to be an av and a tolda. There is that debate too. That's why it's hard to pin down. Right. You're absolutely right. Okay. Anyway, so then the Gemara says, Amaravina masnisa nami daika. You can be medayik this in our Mishnah too, namely what? That Hachnasa is included under the rubric of Hotzah, huh? Nikatani, because we learned Yitzios HaShabbos, the Kamefarish, Hachnasa the altar. The first case in the Mishnah when it says Ketzad is what? It's a Hachnasa case. So how can you say Yitzios and then the first case is Hachnasa? Right? The answer is linguistic flexibility or according to the Ramban, maybe more than that, right? Maybe conceptual, you know, Hotzah flexibility. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Rishuyos Ktani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. It shouldn't say in the Mishnah, Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba. It should say, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz. So then there's some speculation in some of the Rechachmei Svarad, let's say, according to the Ramban, right, who said that, what is it, Ravashi, constitutes a transition in the Gemara that previously the Gemara thought, and in Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Vavud Beis, the Gemara thought that Hachnasa was only a tolda. Then Rav Ashi comes along, and by making this linguistic point, is really making a more substantive point that Hachnasa is Me'in Av, it's part of the Av. Right? So when when Rava turns around and says, no, Rishuyos Ktani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim, is that just like an incidental comment? Is that his way of turning all this backwards? Saying, no. If indeed Yitzios was the right Girsa, and immediately they speak about Achnasa, then you'd be right. But the real Girsa should be Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim, because Hotzah is Hotzah, and Achnasa is Achnasa. And you don't call Achnasa Hotzah. Okay. That's the Gemara. You know, I'm just going to take another couple of lines, because we're going to be needing this. Amalei Rav Masna le'Abaya, Rav Masna said to Abaya, Ha tamne havyan, tartisrei havyan. The Mishnah has eight cases, two and four, which is four and eight, right? There really should be 12. Why? Because there are four cases where there's a malacha d'oraisa done by one. What are the four cases? Hotza'a da'ani, hotza'a da'balabayas, achnasa da'ani, achnasa da'balabayas. That's four. Right? But there should really be, says the Gemara, another eight. Why? Because what are the cases that are patur? Well, you don't have one person doing both the Akira and the Hanaka. Right? That's why they're patur. Because in order to be Chayiv and Shabbos, you have to do both, Akira and Hanaka. But then there should be eight Pturim, which are patur avalot from Drabana. Right? Four Akiros, right? And four Hanachos. Four Akiros of the Balabayas and Ani. And four Hanachos of the Balabayas and Ani. So instead of there being four of eight, it should have been four of 12. That's the Gemara's question. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'li tameich Shitzrei Havyan. That's what I'm saying. It's not like Gemara didn't discuss these cases. They did. They just decided to, for whatever reason, either they felt everybody knew the pshat, or they were okay with there being ambiguities here. B'li Tamech, according to your reasoning, Shitzrei Havyan. There should be 16 cases. Why 16? Because in the case where you have the four Doraisas, right, Hotzah d'ani, Hotzah d'balabayis, Achnasah d'ani, Achnasah d'balabayis, so Zakira v'Hanacha, in those cases, the recipient of the Hanacha, right, is Mutter. So you should have four Doraisa, eight Darabanan, and four Mutter. But you should have 16 cases. Because in each case, there's an Ani and a Balabayis involved. So the Gemara says, Hello, Kasha. That doesn't bother us. Bishlam above the resha, pater mutzer loktani, el above the seifa, the pater avalaser kasha. The problem is that we don't count the pater mutzer cases. We only count the pater aval aser cases. That's why the question of the 12 versus the 8 is a good question, but the 16 is not a good question. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mika bekula Shabbos, pater mutzer. What do you mean? This is pater U mutter. In all of the Shabbos, we don't have that, with a few exceptions. Whenever you find the expression "potter" in Hilchos Shabbos, it means "potter avalaser." Bar mehani tlas, with three exceptions, the potter mutter, which are permissible. One is seidas tzvi, seidas nachash, umapis mursa, hunting a deer, hunting a snake, and mapis mursa, opening up a kind of a channel, right, to allow the pus, let's say, to escape, in a wound. Oh. So these three are considered to be pater umutter. That's a problem. We'll get to that. The Rambam sheets in particular we'll get to. Pater mutter. And everything else in Nefesh Shabbos is pater avalaser. So if that's the case, how can the Mishnah, when it says pater, about the Balabayas does the Akir Vanacha, it says that the Ani is Potur, or the Ani does the Akir Vanacha, the Balabayas is Potur. How could that be Potur Mutur? It's not one of these three cases. So the Gemara says, Ki Yitzchak Le Lishmul, Pturi de Kavid, Maisa, Pturi de Kavid, Maisa, Ika, Tuva. What the Gemara meant was, where there's some action involved, the only time you have Potur Mutur is in these three cases. But are there other things that happen in Hilchos Shabbos where the guy is completely passive, he doesn't do anything, and he sees mutter because, like here, he had his hand out. So the guy put it in his hand. The guy did an akira, he did an hanach, he did an hanach on the other fellow's hand. Right? But he didn't do anything. He just has his hand there. So that doesn't count for the limited rule of potter u mutters. Okay. So then the Gemara says, mikomokom tarti srei havyon. So let's get back to the other question. Why are you only counting 4 and 4, meaning 8? You should be counting 12, the Akira alone and the Hanacha alone, right, of each, the Ani and the Malabayis, right, in Hotzah and Achnasa. So then the Gemara gives an important answer. The answer is, Pturi de Asi Bhuli de Chatas, Chiv Chatas Kachashim, the Lo Asi Bhuli de Chiv Chatas, Lo Kachashim. The Gemara only counts the Pturim, right, the Isurim that could lead to a Daraisa. Of course, what does that mean? That's a loaded line if there ever was one. Rashi says it means Akiras. That's what Rashi said in the Mishnah, and that's what Rashi repeats here as well. But we're not going to do this right now. Rashi quotes Rabosav, who had a different pshat. Tosus, the Riva here, and Avgimonav has another different pshat. Balamar is a different pshat. Ramban, the Rajba, they have a Chachmei Svarad pshat. There are like four or five different ways to read this line in the Gemara. And again, I think they're very important for Akira and Hanacha and the role. We'll discuss them all. Then the Gemara says, Vais Abda Malacha Mibanayu. Either way, when two people do, one does the Akira, does the other does the Hanacha, between the two of them the Malacha was done. Let them be Chayev. Now, there's a debate in the Rishonim here also. The Gemara is saying that they should, when one does the Akira, the other does the Hanacha, both of them should be Chayev? Or the Gemara is saying that one of them should be Chayev? And if so, which one? The one who does the Akira or the one who does the Hanacha? Another suggestive, right, issue and debate. That's actually Machokas. We'll get to all of this, but that's Machokas, different Tosas. Tosas here in Gimel and Aleph says the Gemara's Havamina was that the person who does the Hanacha should be Chayev. And Tosas on Tzadi Gimel and Aleph later on says no, the Gemara's Havamina was that the Oker should be Chayev. Still others think that the Havamina was that both of them should be Chayev. Anyway, the Gemara says Tanya Rebbe Omer Me'am Ha'aretz Basosa Ha'osas Kula V'lo Ha'osas Miktasa. Yachid v'asa osa chayim shnayim v'asa osa pturim itmanami amra b'chiyah bagamda nizrka v'piyach haburav amru basosa yachid shasa chayim shnayim shasu pturim. This is a famous rule that only if an individual alone does the malacha, if two people do it, especially if it's zeyachal v'zeyachal, you don't need the two people, then they are pturim. So we'll talk about that as well. That's the Gemara, that's the basic shakamatari. Yeah. No question? Oh, I think that's okay. Good. So that's the Shakavatari. As already you can see, there's a tremendous amount of topics packed in. It's going to take us a while to get out of this Gemara, but it's important to read it just to get, so you get a sense of the flow. There's something going on about Akhnas and Ahutsa, right? There's something going on about Akira and Hanacha, right? And so on. Okay. So now let's go back to Malacha Grua. So Tosas here, the first of the widest lines on Beis Amud Aleph, Tosus confronts this question head on. Again, if you read the previous Tosus, the first Tosus on Yitzios, then you read this Tosus, you can appreciate that there is a gestalt here, meaning there's a, you know, there's a unified like view of trying to figure out, trying to fathom what's going on in this whole Mishnah and this whole structure. Pashat Balabayas. Tamilari Amai Tzorech L'misne Tarti the Ani who the Balabayas. Why do we need the Ani and the Balabayas here? Right? That we need Hotsa and Achnasa, we understand. Maybe direction matters. That we need Akira and Hanacha, you know, on the Drabana level, we understand. But who cares about an Ani and Balabayas? Why are those relevant categories in this Mishnah? The Chaim Bereish Shmuos, the Mefarish Megamar, Shnayim, the Ani, the Balabayas. There too. Ma Shaykh Likroso, Shnayim, Maliani, Maliashir. Who really care? What is this? You know, class struggle. Right? You care who's doing the Hotzai, whether he's wearing nice clothes or shabby clothes, or he has X amount of money in his bank account or less. Who cares? Like, what's the point of it? Then you're Lari, the itzrich lashmi inan. It's important to spell out the ani and the asher. Why? Mishum da'otza malacha gruahi. Now the first time we're speaking about a bit of a substantive issue, not maskana, but what you might have thought again previously, when Tosas used the expression malacha grua, it whetted our appetite, right? But only just that, right? Meaning, I have to do this while I'm doing this, right? Meaning, what Tosas would quoted malacha grua for was to explain why the Masechta begins with hotzah. For lo yetzah chayit b'machto, and it doesn't begin with malabein because of lo yitain, you know, kelim lakoves. The answer is hotzah is a more challenging thing. Fine, but now we're being told something else. And that is that you might have thought because hotzah is a malacha grua that we should distinguish substantively. We're not yet saying that we do, right? You might have thought that there's a difference between hotzahs ani and hotzahs malabais. You might have thought there's a difference between achnasas ani and achnasas balabayas. Wow. What's the difference at all? I mentioned before, the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, a bunch of the Chachmei Svarad explain. The difference between balabayas and ani is the question of Meshicha versus Siluk. Am I bringing the object to me? Right? Or am I pushing it away from me? Right? Is it going into the Rishus where I am or away from the Rishus that I am? So, wow. There was some Havamina that would matter? In which direction? Tosas doesn't take a direction. Right? Tosas here, Tosas in Shavuos, they just mentioned you could have been Mechal. Other Rishonim, and we'll try to read the Ramban inside next time, but the Ramban seems to have different points, seems to take a stand. Which one is more obvious? Interesting. So that's what the Ri saying. Now, why is it? What do we mean when we say it's hotzah malacha gruahi? So now Tosis goes further. The mali motzin rishus hayachid rishus harabin. Mali motzin rishus hayachid rishus hayachid. That's also very fascinating. I mean, Tosis does not bother, as we'll soon see, the Ramban and Orzarua, each one in his own way, is a little more bothered. Tosis is not bothered by the fact that Hotzam Rishus per se is a malacha. Or so it doesn't seem like it would be bothered by it. Unless this whole statement is a reductio or an absurdum, but as I'll explain in a minute. But that doesn't seem to bother Tosis. Like, how can you have an Isur malacha simply by carrying an object from one place to the other? That's fine. Tosis is just saying, Imkvar, Azkvar. If Chiluk Rishuyos, and this seems to be his emphasis, If transferring an object from one place, one sphere to another, right, constitutes a malacha, so why is that limited to a transfer from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim? What about Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid? Reuven's property to Shimon's property? Why is that also considered Tchilat Rishuyos? That's what bothers Tosis. There's not that Hotzah shouldn't apply, but Hotzah shouldn't be limited. Unless Tosis means, as I say, a reductio ad absurdum, which is, I don't understand what this malacha is, and if you're already going to have this malacha, well, why not even apply it to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah? That's another way to read Tosis. But let's not read it that way for the moment. I think the normal reading, the simple reading is, Tosis saying, I don't see why. Now you should know that, of course, the whole idea of Eruvei Chatzeros, right, is exactly that. You know, that Chiluk Rishuyos between one Rishus HaYachid and another, not such a simple thing. What looks like a change in Rishus, in domain, is also, we hold that that's only Drabana. Okay, that's Tosis. What's being emphasized here, is if it isn't reductio ad absurdum, is the factor of Chiluk Rishuyos. For example, if I could have said something else, I could say, you know, it's the problem with Hotzah is that, I'm going to say it this way for now, it's a Rosh Hasharabim issue. It's a Rosh Hasharabim malacha. You know, you'd say Shemim Komo. Shabbos is a place not to be in the street. Right? Taking an object from inside and then putting it outside, that's a Rishus HaRabim kind of a behavior. Okay, but there's no problem with Shusayachet, Shusayachet. So what Tosfos is emphasizing is, in the Malacha of Hotzah, is Chilof Rishuyos, the transfer from one domain to another. And the assumption that Shusayachet, that Bailus, is also relevant in that, not just, you know, the, you know, larger issue, either structural or otherwise, of Tashmisho Shal Yachid or Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRab. Anyways, the law of the Gavrina notes, and therefore, all bets are off. We don't understand why we're distinguishing between Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRab on the one end, and Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid on the other. So for all we know, there might be another chiluk in the tzura, in the details. Maybe siluk, you know, is good, but not mashicha. Or maybe mashicha is good, but not siluk. The teda, then Tosfos goes further with malacha grua. Mid itzrich trei kroi behotza kedenafkelon bereish hazorek mibi kalei ha'ameavi v'sof perkama de'eravin nafkelon mikrochrin didarshinan al yetzei ish mimkomo al yetzei al yotzi v'hasam pirashti v'hainim yishum de malacha gruahi itzrich travayu chad la'ani v'chad la'ashir. Wow. So Tosfos is looking around, right? Once we're sensitive to the fact that Hotzah might be a different kind of a malacha, more challenging malacha, let's look for patterns. So what's a pattern that he noticed? Something we mentioned last week, right? Normally, l'sasa kol malacha, there are no psukim about specific malachos. Maybe b'charis shuba katzer tishpos, as we discussed, if it isn't about Shemitah, or maybe havara, you know, if it's l'chalek yatzos, and because it's l'chalek yatzos, all of a sudden you come to Hotzah, the Gemara and Tzadi Vavmedeis quotes by Kalei Am Mehavi in the Davos of the Mishkan. That's what Rashi quotes here right in the beginning. Why does Rashi quote it? First Rashi. Second Rashi. Right, Shtayim Shenar B'Fnim, Lo Son Om B'Fnim, Shtayim in HaTorah, Hotzah V'Achnas and Balabais. Perkazorek Bereisha Nafkalam B'Vetzah Moshe V'Aviru Kol B'Machna, Lo tafikum rishus yachol shesaravim lo havi nedava lematan lemachna leviya. V'yom Shabbos hayu kedi alifasam. Why does Rashi even bring that in? Right, Rashi wants you to know, where does Hotzah even come from? What do you mean, where does Hotzah come from? Did anybody ever ask, where does Shnei Batei Nirim come from? Or Zoreya? Or Kotzer? Or Dosh? I mean, they do ask a little bit, but the answer is, it comes from the Mishkan. Was there Hotzah in the Mishkan? Absolutely. The Gemara says so explicitly on Mem Tesh on the base and Tzadi Vavmin base. This whole parsha is a mish. So what do you need a special limud for? And then Tosfos says, okay, so special treatment for Hotzah, right? Not just special treatment. Two psukim. Now the other one's a little more controversial. The other one is Al Yetzei Ish Mimakoma. Tosfos L'shitasam Oliver Shas and Eruvin and Horios. Here, Tosfos Rosh, others, that's why Tosfos read the Gemara. We'll see in a moment. I guess we won't see it today. We'll see next time. But basically, there's a Gemara. Right? The Gemara assumes that Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo means not only Yetze, but Yotzi. Al Yotzi Ish Mimkomo. Don't carry things out from your domain. Maybe that refers to Hotzah. However, the Gemara in Eruvin, in Zion with base, the first thing we have on the Mar Makomos here, which we'll get to next time, the Gemara is, it's not clear whether the Gemara retains that lahalach or not. Because the Gemara uses it, actually let's look at it for 1 minute.
Is there a specified one?
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be taking from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid?
Sorry?
Wouldn't the focus be on taking it from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid?
That's a question. There seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. Which pasuk is in which direction? Anyways, look at the Gemara in Eruvin for 1 second, the first entry. I'm sorry. The Tani Rab Chia. Okay, Lo Shana Alei Rabbi Chater, so Alei Rabbi Tchumim Chayad. The Tani Rab Chia. Lokin Alei Rubei Tchumim Dvar Torah. Okay, Rav Chiya said that you get Malkus if you violate the Tzkun on Shabbos. Wow. Maske for Rabbi Yonason, b'chilokan alav shebaal. A lav, which starts with the word, not lo, but al yetzei ishmim komo. You get Malkus for that. Maske for Rav Acha bar Yaakov, elameata d'chsiv, al tifnu el ovos vele yidonim, hachanami dolaki. What do you mean? You don't get Malkus because it says al instead of lo? That's not true. See, from Avin Yedoni, Ovin Yedoni, where it says al, you do get Malkus. So Rabbi Yonah said, no, that's not what I meant. Rabbi Yonah said, hachi kashalai. Lav shenitan zaris misas bezin. V'chala shenitan zaris misas bezin. Ein lokin alav. Meaning, this is a lav shenitan lazaras misas bezin. Because al yetzish mim kovo doesn't just refer to tzchumin, even if it also refers to tzchumin, it refers to melechas hotzah. And that is a capital crime. And whenever you have a capital crime, you can't use that same pasuk for a lesser onesh, like Malkus. So the Gemara is saying, how can you use this pasuk ayetzish mekomo for Malkus, for tchumen? It's a pasuk about otzon. It's a lav shenit lazar smisas pesim. So now the key line becomes the last line, right? So the Gemara says, Om Ravashi, miksiv al yotzi, al yetzei ksiv. Meaning, why? So there are two ways to read the Gemara. The way that Rashi and Ramban read the Gemara went 180 degrees the other way. The Gemara said, what are you talking about? Al Yetzei Shem Koma doesn't refer to Hotza. Right? It doesn't say Al Yotzi, it says Al Yetzei. So Hotza, Mandakar Shemei, Hotza has nothing to do with anything here. That's how Rashi read the Gemara, that's how the Ramban read the Gemara. And they hold, according to the Mandamar, Tchumin Doraisa, right, there is no second Pasuk for Hotza. Balitosis, however, and the Rajba, Balitosis all over the place, did not read the Gemara that way. They read the Gemara as saying, well, there are different versions of it, it's not really, those details are not important right now. For our purposes, we'll just say, they read the Gemara as trying to explain why it's not Lav Shenitam Lezaris Misas Fezenei Lokin Olav. The Gemara saying is, listen, had the Pasuk been explicit, had it said Al Yotzi Ishmim Komo, that it was explicit or exclusively about Hotza, so then if Tchumen had been in the same Pasuk, we'd say it's a Lav Shenitam Lazarus Misas Pesim. But since the Pasuk sounds like it's referring to Tchumen, it says Al Yetzei Ishmim Komo, even though we also learn from there Al Yotzi Ishmim Komo, and it is part of the same Pasuk, but the rule of Lav Shenitam Lazarus Misas Bezdin Elokin Olav doesn't apply when the Ikar Olav, let's say, is referring to the Malkus, and the Ikar Olav is not referring to the Misa. Normally, when you have Olav Shenitam Lazarus Misas Bezdin, it's because the Ikar is referring to the Misa. Oh. So according to Balitosis, what emerges is that there are not only one Pasuk, there are two Psukim for Hotzah. No Psukim for practically anything else, and two Psukim for Hotzah. The question is why? So Tosa says, let's go back to our Tosa for a minute. That's what he means about what I said in Eruvin. You have to, look it up. So per kamad Eruvin, nafka mikrochrin, the darshal yetzish mekom, al yotzi, vasim pirashti. Meaning, not so simple, but according to my view of that Gemara, it doesn't exclude in maskana, hotza. Haina mishug de malacha gruahi. Therefore, itzrich travayu, chadla ani, bechadla asher. Wow! The two psukim, one is for the ani and one is for the asher. Incredible. The chain, the kol todos to avos v'lachos lochai shinon sheva mishkan ela avos bilvad. Ube told us to hotza boy sheva mishkan. Another napkamina. Right? So far we have ani and asher. We have two psukim, not zero, not one pasuk even, but two psukim. And another phenomenon. Normally, what differentiates an Av and a Tolda? The Av was in the Mishkan and the Tolda was not. Here, the Tolda, meaning, assuming Hachnasa, was also in the Mishkan. Ditznan Bazorik, Shtegu Zustro, Zukan Egetu, Moshit Bazorik, Mizula Zu Potter, Oyeshtein Bajutachas, Azorik Potter, Moshit Chayim, Shekachoy Savod at Salavim. So, Tolodo, Moshit, for example, was in the Mishkan, even though it's a Tolda. Usually, it's in the Mishkan, it's an Av. How come in Hotzah the Toldos need to be in the Mishkan and although they're in the Mishkan, they're only Tavel, Toldos? The answer is, because this is Hotzah, it's a Malacha Geruah. Gubereish HaZorik Nami, Boy HaZorik Dalad Amos, Prishus HaRabim Minalon, throwing an object for Amos, V'dachina L'ashkechina B'mishkan, Adamas called Dalad Amos, Prishus HaRabim Chasal Gemirla, V'chol Eilut Toldo Dotsani, Nuvlo Amos, She'ein Avos HaLemem Chasarachas, there are only 39 Avos, V'gabi HaKnas HaNami, Arminim B'met Tomnin, the Gemara, Heim Helu Kroshu Mekarka La'gol, V'afatem Al Taknisu, Prishus HaRabim L'shus HaYachid. B'kitzur, Tosus is basically pointing to several phenomena, the need for psukim, the need for ani v'ashir, right, the different treatment of tolda than other avos. All of this is due to hotzah, malacha, geruah. Okay, why? Because what's the difference between mali, rishis yach, and shach, and mali, rishis yach, and rishis yach? That's Tosus' perspective. We're going to try to show you next week, is that we'll pick up with this, is that the Ramban also believes in malacha and geruah, but he has a different, very different rationale and a different way of dealing with the issue, as does the Rambam. And then we'll talk about actual nafkamina, etc.